Welcome to the Prophet University audio series. Here are your hosts, Bill Kennard and Tom Grandy.
Welcome to the Prophet University audio series. I'm Bill Kennard, along with our company's founder, Tom Grandy. This month's program is titled, Handling and Overcoming Customer Objections. Tom, closing sales are never easy. It seems like the customer's objections come up over and over again. Most center on either price or the need to talk to their spouse or the desire to get other bids, things like that. The list is never ending. But for the most part, the questions are not unique. Rob's presentation is going to deal with some of the most common objections and how to overcome them.
You're right, Bill. Most customer objections fall into several pretty common categories. This presentation deals with how to overcome those specific objections. Ironically, the solution to most of the objections comes in the form of creating a customer survey. This survey is literally a list of well-thought-out questions that the sales professional asks the potential customer prior to even starting the overall sales presentation.
Oh, you're right, Tom. You know, the survey question that popped out for me was the one that asks, are you willing to make a buying decision today? Think about it. That one question quickly clears the air and lets the sales professional know where things stand, even before the sales presentation begins. Rob does a great job of giving practical suggestions for overcoming the most common objections customers bring up. This month's presenter is Rob Rusnacek. Rob joined Grandy & Associates in 2015. As an engineer and entrepreneur, Rob has over 25 years of experience in business. He has worked as the director of operations responsible for HVAC sales, service management, implementing technologies, and day-to-day operations. Rob is also the creator and presenter of the newest Grandy & Associates four-day sales training program called HVAC Sales Mastery. And now, with handling and overcoming customer objections, here's Rob Rusnacek with this month's Prophet University audio series presentation.
How many times have you been in that homeowner's home, and how many times have you heard those various dreaded objections? And it's the difference between getting the sale and not getting the sale. The monthly investment's too much. The total investment's too much. Oh, they want to do some comparison shopping, and they want to get other bids from other contractors and things of that nature. Or maybe they already have gotten other bids, and they'll pull that information out, and they'll say, hey, look, your XYZ competitor is $3,000 less, and if you match that price, you could get the job. Or simply, they want to think about it. They want to talk to their significant other or what have you. Hi, my name is Robert Rusnacek, and I am a business developing trainer here at Grandy & Associates. And I am passionate about being able to help contractors like yourself be more successful at the kitchen table. So what we really have to have prior to even getting to the kitchen table is a plan in place to be able to address and handle those dreaded objections, if you would. So objection handling is one of the biggest parts of the sales process. Not only do we have to know our trade and have to know what we're going to be offering to our customers, but then we have to be able to deal with all of those different objections. We have to be able to empathize. We have to be able to ask questions, and we have to be able to remove those hurdles and those speed bumps in the actual offering process. Because it's not just about the trade, and it's not just about what we're offering to that customer or client. It's also about how to help them get over that speed bump in the decision-making process. And that's the difference between getting the sale and not getting the sale. We have to have a plan in place to be able to handle those objections. So one of the things that we coach and we work with a lot of our clients on is a methodology called EAR. EAR is a methodology of being able to empathize, being able to ask questions, being able to remove those concerns that the client is about to share with you, and really getting to the root of what's the objection that's preventing the homeowner from being able to make that buying decision today. We want to be able to get to the root of those things, because in reality, a lot of times customers aren't sharing the real reason for why they're not committing or saying yes to the sale. So in my opinion, what you have to have is a strategy in place to be able to deal with these different objections. And one of the most common objections that I always heard was, well, I just want to think about it. I just want to think about it. And so I would say, yep, okay, well, that makes sense. I'll talk to you later. What do you say when you hear, I want to think about it? How do you even engage the I want to think about it? Do you think when you actually leave that homeowner's house that the homeowner is thinking and thinking, yeah, I told Rob I was going to think about it, so I'm going to spend the next 2 days here just thinking about it? Or what should you say when you hear that dreaded I want to think about it? Because is it that they just want to think about it? Are they going to just spend all of this time thinking about that proposal that you put in front of them? Or is it that they've already made up their mind? Or what's the real reason behind that I want to think about it? And knowing that's one of those typical objections that you're going to hear over and over and over again. And mind you, I've been in so many customers' houses and I've heard that time and time again, the I want to think about it. And it could stem from fear. It could stem from many different reasons. The customer making a mistake, a bad buying experience in the past, or any of a litany of reasons that have come up. And so that specific objection, because it's come up so often, I think we should rewind to the beginning of the sales process. And how have you, if we go back to the beginning of the sale, we don't start with the proposal, oh, here it is. No, we actually, what we do is we talk to the homeowner and we go through a process of being able to engage with that homeowner. So if we go back to the beginning, one of the things that I've done is I will actually survey my customer. And when I say survey, I'll ask them some questions. In contracting with HVAC, in the HVAC industry, I'll ask them about hot spots, cold spots, allergies, and all of those different types of things. And one of the questions that I ask up front, because my time is valuable and I know the homeowner's time is valuable as well, is I will ask them a question which is along the lines, are you willing to make a buying decision today? And are you able to make a buying decision today? Now, that may sound like a huge question, or it may sound like one of those questions that's going to be offensive. But listen, friends, what you have out there is you have a homeowner that has taken the time to find you, to seek you out. And I think my time is valuable. I think your time is valuable. And one of the things that we need to know right from the get-go, right when we're engaging in that sales process, is to find out whether or not that homeowner is going to be willing to make a buying decision today based on the things that I'm proposing. And I'm not looking to offend anybody or anything like that. What I'm looking to do is establish what is it that we're talking about here. And I urge you to be able to say that in the nicest of fashions. So one of the things that I have on my survey is to say, are you willing to make a buying decision today? And if the customer says yes, that's great, because now as I engage and I go through the overall sales process with them, as I'm showing and educating them on all of the different things that I'm going to be able to provide them throughout their house and making their comfort situation better, there's a reason why that homeowner actually called me out to their house. There's a reason why they took action, they picked up the phone, and they called into the office to schedule me to actually go out to the homeowner's house. Simply, what we're doing in that introductory phase when we're doing a survey is just asking them those questions that are pertinent to your business. So if you don't have a list of questions, one of the things that I really urge you to do is be able to construct a survey that you routinely do with every single homeowner. And that's a wash, rinse, repeat type of process. What you're looking to do is establish why we're actually there. Why are we talking? Because at the end of that survey, one of those things I'm going to ask, and I'm going to do it with such respect, is I'm going to ask them, are they willing to make a buying decision today? And knowing that, when we fast forward to the end of the call, is the difference, in my opinion, between getting the sale and not getting the sale. So let's rewind to the beginning of the sales call. And one of the things, again, that I'll ask is, are you willing to make a buying decision today? If that homeowner says, yes, I'm willing to, hey, Rob, I'm willing to make that buying decision today. And then when we fast forward to the end of the call or the end of the sales call where I've now provided my proposal, I've put that in front of them, and I'm asking them to go ahead and make a buying decision, and I hear the dreaded, well, Rob, I just want to think about it. And so what are they thinking about? And how can I get to the root of what they truly want to get an answer to? Because when they say, I want to think about it, it could be a whole host of things. Maybe I offered financing and the monthly investment's too much. Maybe the proposal that I put in front of them, it's just way too much money. Maybe they need to talk to somebody or get some additional information, or maybe I failed in providing them adequate information to making a buying decision. And really, friends, this is what I'm talking about. When you have the opportunity to have a plan in place to be able to do objection handling, you should be able to sail through this. At least increase your statistical probability of getting the sale right there and then. And one of the things that I recommend when you hear that, I want to think about it, I refer back to my customer survey. And my customer survey already asked and established that they were willing to make a buying decision today. They told me they were. So now that they were telling me up front that they're willing to make that buying decision, and now at the end of the sales call, we get into this situation where, hey, I want to think about it. Obviously, I didn't do my job well enough. And now I need to dig, and I need to do it respectfully with empathy as to what is the true root of this problem. And so I would urge you to utilize a customer survey so that you could specifically deal and address this I want to think about it type of objection. And the I want to think about it type of objection is, in my opinion, one of the biggest ones out there, because you don't really know the true reason and rationale for the objection. Again, they told you at the beginning of the sales call, and if you actually go through the process and you ask up front if they're willing to make a buying decision, and then at the end of it, they're telling you they want to think about it, wouldn't you agree that there's something there that you've left out? So utilizing the survey gives you that opportunity to be able to reset the whole situation and be able to get to now what the real root of the problem is. So my suggestion is saying something along the lines where they tell you, hey, I want to think about it. Well, you could say, hey, Mr. Smith, obviously you have a reason for saying that. Would you mind sharing it with me? And now as you wait and you're waiting with empathy, Mr. Smith has the opportunity to say a host of things to you. Well, yeah, Rob, it's just way too much money. Well, okay, now I've established that he doesn't want to think about it. It's way too much money. Or maybe Mr. Smith says something like, well, what do you mean? And then he waits. What do you do then? And in this situation where he says, or I don't understand, or what do you mean? You have the opportunity of saying, well, Mr. Smith, you know, when we sat down at first and we were talking about your project, you had indicated that you would be able to make a buying decision today. And I was just hoping that you could share with me what it is that I've done wrong. What information didn't I provide you in being able to make a decision, because now you want to think about it? And I'm not looking to make it confrontational or anything like that. I'm seriously trying to dig in to figure out what it is that I've left out in that sales process that gives Mr. Smith that pause in being able to make a buying decision, right? And you could say, well, again, now that I've established why I'm confused, right, why he's sharing that objection with me of he wants to think about it, now that puts the ball back into his court. And Mr. Smith could say, well, Rob, truth be told, you know, this is a pretty large purchase and I want to get other bids. Or truth be told, the price is too much. Or truth be told, and then you will get at what the next objection is. And so going through the process of being able to handle the I want to think about it objection is really enriching, because it helps you then get over that speed bump, and it helps you figure out what it is that's really the obstacle in being able to make that sale. So again, just to recap, the dreaded I want to think about it objection. I think it's one of the biggest objections out there, and I think it's the one that all of us have come across. And I think it's imperative that we have a methodology for being able to handle and address this specific objection. And I urge you that if you're not conducting a survey today of any sorts when you're working with a homeowner, I would recommend highly. In fact, I would plead with you that establishing through a customer survey in a very professional, nice fashion by just asking them a simple question. Are they willing to make a buying decision today early on in the sales process? Now, as you're going through the home with them and you're talking about what specific project that you're offering them and all of those things, I mean, it could be another hour, a half hour later where you're now providing and presenting a proposal to them. Now, that innocent little question that you had asked, whether or not they were willing to make a buying decision today, it pays so much dividend later on because it helps you establish what is it that they really want to think about. Is it that the price is too high, or a host of other reasons that they have to check off? And by at least being able to address this one can now lead in to the next set of objections. So one of the next objections that I often find is that one of the things that I do time and time again in the services that I provide is I offer financing. And one of the easy objections that I find dealing with is, once I get to it, is, well, Rob, the monthly investment's too much. Oh, the monthly investment's too much. And how much is too much on that monthly investment? And typically what I do is I establish what are known as energy savings, or savings in general. Right. So depending on the services that I'm providing, whether it's HVAC, electrical, or any of those types of services, one of the things that I'm doing is I'm actually enriching the home. I'm making it better. I'm making it more efficient in some form or fashion. And if I look from a financing model, one of the things that I'll find is that I'm potentially going to save the homeowner $100 a month, $50 a month, and then I could use that toward the monthly investment objection. So if a homeowner says, yeah, Rob, the monthly investment's too much, I could say, yeah, remember the energy savings that we talked about? Well, what we're going to be able to do is we're going to be able to offset some of those monthly investments with those energy savings. And those energy savings will equate to X, Y, and Z dollars per month, right? So I have the ability to then address that objection. Because the service that I'm going to provide is going to provide some energy savings, and what's the offset? So if my energy savings are equating to $50 per month, $60 a month, $30 per month, it doesn't really matter. What matters is what the monthly budget is. And in that case, if the monthly budget is now offset by those energy savings, I'm going to stand behind that in terms of the services that I provide. And I'll be able to show very quickly to the homeowner that, yeah, that $30 a month or that $60 a month is now going to be offset from your overall monthly investment, right? So again, that helps me address that monthly investment objection, and that's essentially, if that objection comes out, I'm happy with that one because I have services in place to actually deal with that monthly investment objection. So that's part of the services that I offer, and I'm happy to deal with that one. So the next objection that I find that comes out is, Rob, the total investment is just way, way too much. So what's the strategy for being able to deal with that one? Again, without establishing a survey of sorts, I don't really know how I would deal with this one. But by having a survey in place and then constructing a system or a project specific to that particular homeowner, I'm able to refer back to that survey. And that survey really is my shield in the whole process in being able to handle any of these types of objections. So again, the objection is, Rob, the total investment is just way, way too much money. So how to handle that? Well, if I've established a survey and I've taken some good notes, and I'm not talking copious notes, it's things that were important to the homeowner, things that they've said that they were critical and important to them, I have the ability to say, well, Mr. Mr. and Mrs. Smith, the survey includes everything that you said you wanted. Let's review the survey to make sure we didn't include options that aren't important to you, because I don't want to be putting additional items into a project that really are meaningless to the homeowner, the homeowner's comfort, the homeowner's customer satisfaction, or any of those types of things. So I want to be able to address those things with them. So if I do provide options in my services, I then, rather than giving them discounts or anything like that, I can refer to the survey and say, hey, these are all of the things that you said were important to you. Let's take a look at the survey and see in the system that I've built for you if there's anything that we can remove, or if there are other options, or maybe as we're going through the survey and the customer says, yep, it's really important that we have this, and it's really important we have this, then now there is a baseline established as to why this particular system or this particular service that I'm going to be providing them is going to be costing them as much money as it is. And now that they've known that, and now that they've established all of those things, or we've collectively established those things, now the homeowner feels a lot better in making that investment. So how many times have we dealt with that price comparison objection where we now provide our proposal price, let's say it's $10,000, and Mr. and Mrs. Smith, they'll tell us, well, you know, I just had ABC in here, and they're $1,000 less, or they're $2,000 less. And what do you do in that situation? I've been in situations where literally, as I'm providing my proposal and I am higher, I will have a customer pull out the competitive proposal and they'll put it right in front of me and they'll say, you see, here it is, it's $2,000 less. And why are you that much higher? And that's a great objection, right? We could look at that as being a bad objection, but in my opinion, that's a good one, because now I'm armed with a lot of information. And based on the fact that I've conducted a survey and I'm looking to speak to that customer, I'm able to say, yeah, that's great. Let's take a look at what they've been able to put together and why they are so much. Because what I've done is I've conducted a survey with you. It includes all of the options that you said that were really, really important to you. I've put that into my system design, into my project design. And now when I'm looking at a competitive proposal, I'll have the opportunity to educate myself and help educate the customer as to what pieces are actually missing in theirs. Right? So I have the ability to then establish what's the difference between my proposal and their proposal. So I'm not just looking at the price in terms of what the competitive company has put together. I'm actually looking at what have I put together and what they've put together. So now I'm able to share with the homeowner and hopefully educate the homeowner on what the real true differences are between my proposal and a competitive proposal. Are there really truly differences? I mean, maybe it's the equipment that I'm putting in, the materials that I'm using versus what the other contractor is using. So I like that objection, because now I've been able to get to the root of that one. And if I'm able to establish what the differences are, I'm educating the customer in terms of why my proposal is better, how I'm differentiating myself from the other contractor. And essentially, that's what I want to be able to do. That's the difference between me and whoever else is also providing this proposal. So it's not in terms of the fact that I'm scared of this. I want to walk into it and I really want to dig through and help the customer understand line item by line item what differentiates me from that competitive proposal. And in many cases, maybe I am costing more money, or my proposal does cost money, more money. So how do I handle that? In essence, there, I have the ability to then talk about our company, our services, what we provide, how we do it, how we take care of the home, the training, a satisfaction guarantee, a warranty, or any of the multitudes of services that I provide, because it's not just about a number. And it's not just about project completion. It's all of the little details and everything in between that really helps me establish and differentiate what I provide versus what another contractor is providing. And isn't it so powerful to know as a a contractor and a service provider, what somebody else is charging and what they're doing. I mean, I'm getting some market analysis and research being done right there and then, so that when I'm in the next homeowner's house, I'm armed with more information. I have the ability to share that with the office staff and say, hey, these are some adjustments that I want to be making, or maybe I don't want to be making because I am doing so well in targeting and hitting that market correctly. So just a tremendous exercise, a tremendous opportunity when a customer is willing to show me what a competitive proposal is like and what's actually established there. And so one of the next objections that I'll often get, and it's interesting because as you're providing services, as you're selling across the kitchen table, you know when this is happening, but you have many customers that I'll just outright tell you, which I appreciate that more than anything, where they'll tell me, hey, look, Rob, thanks for coming today. Thanks for your proposal. Thanks for talking to us. But lo and behold, we want to get other bids. We want to get other estimates. We want to get other proposals. We want to arm ourselves with additional information because we don't know if the proposal that you're providing us is actually a good or a great one. So what we're going to do is we're going to reach out and talk to some other contractors. And in fact, how many times have I been in a situation as I'm leaving the house, I have another contractor who's already has an established appointment right behind me. So I need to be able to address and deal with those homeowners that are telling me, hey, I'm looking for other information. And how do you deal with that? Well, in essence, what I want to do is I want to take the opportunity to do something nice for the customer. And one of the things that I want to do is I want to also establish and put myself in the best light. And one of the things that I'll say is when talking to others, there are many important things to look for. Their project may be complicated or any of those types of things. So I'll go through the process of saying, when talking to others, there are many important things to look for. Would you mind if I just jot those few things down for you that you should be looking for? And then I'll start establishing why my company is bigger, better, faster than the competition. And it could be from a host of things in terms of how I'm providing warranty, in terms of a workmanship guarantee or a satisfaction guarantee, or the fact that I've conducted a survey and I've designed a system or a project specific to their needs. So I'll call those things out. I'll write down 100% satisfaction guarantee, or I'll call out the fact that we have a workmanship guarantee, or that we provide drug testing, we provide training, and a whole host of those types of things in terms of the services that we provide compared to our competition. And if the customer at that point is nodding their head, what I often find as I'm going through and I'm creating this list and I'm jotting all of these things down, the customer will say, you mean other contractors don't do this, that, and the other thing? Well, no, Mr. and Mrs. Smith, this is one of the things that I do. And what that then opens up for me is the opportunity to ask for the sale again. And essentially, I've been in situations where the homeowner has said, well, I've already established this next appointment, and I'll get back to you right after they talk to that next contractor. And I said, and I'll say, hey, if you'd like, Mr. and Mrs. Smith, I'll be happy to call the next contractor, and I'll let them know that they've decided to go ahead with me. And the relief that you see on their face, because they're in this situation where they don't want to say no to anybody, but they'll go ahead and give you the opportunity to call the next contractor and say, hey, look, I just wanted to let you know the Smiths have decided to go with us and they're going to be canceling their appointment. And mind you, the appreciation that they go through in allowing you to make that phone call for them, because there are a lot of people out there that they just don't want to deal with any of that type of controversy. Again, as contractors, as service providers, and the things that we do, we run into so many different types of personalities and people and all of those types of things. So one of the things that that's out there is the fact that people want to honor their commitments, and that's commendable, and they want to be able to honor those appointments. So if we have the opportunity to take some of that pressure off of the homeowner, again, it just tightens our bond between us and that particular client, and that makes the long term. It helps establish that longer term relationship. So again, in looking all of these different objections, I think what you'll root out is the fact that I am a firm believer in utilizing some sort of a customer survey. And that customer survey is really going to be dependent on the industry that you're in. And mind you, there's many different industries listening in to this audio program today. And that establishment of a customer survey is quintessentially the most important thing that you could do, in my opinion, in terms of then going back and then dealing with the objection handling piece. Whether it's plumbing, electrical, pool and spa, HVAC, plumbing, etc., chimney sweep. There's just so many different trades out there, but it all goes back to the same thing. We need a methodology to be able to engage with a customer, and if we differentiate ourselves simply by doing a customer survey, if that customer is then dealing with so many different contractors and none of that information is taken down, what services are they really being provided by an alternative contractors? And then when it comes to the objection handling piece, that's really the big piece there, because what our goal is, or what our role is, more importantly, as someone that's providing services, is to help that particular customer or client get over the speed bump in making a purchasing decision. So going back through, we need to have a plan in place to be able to deal with the variety of objections that we're going to face. And by having a customer survey and having a process there and having that question, one of those questions being, are they willing to make a purchasing decision today? If your client reaches out and says, yeah, I'm willing to make a purchase decision today, then you have a chance in statistically closing that dreaded I want to think about it objection. Because think of it, without having that survey, how do you handle that I want to think about it objection? Or if you are one of those contractors that are providing financing and you're being told that the monthly investment is too much, unless you're calculating or have some premeditated fashion to show the client in terms of how much money they're going to be saving with your services, how else would you be able to contend with that? So you need a plan in place to be able to deal with that second objection of the monthly investment. Now, the total investment, again, by having a survey and building a specific system or project to specifically address those customers' needs, without having a survey in terms of educating them on the materials that you're using, the brand of equipment that you're using, the efficiency of the equipment that you're using, the services that you provide, how else would you handle that without a survey? Price comparison, it's the same thing. It's one of those things in terms of what do you provide versus what somebody else is providing. So by having a survey, you could say really quickly, these are all of the things that we're putting into our system. These are all of the things that they're putting into their system in terms of the services that they're going to provide you. And here are all the ancillary services that I provide that they're not providing. And it's not talking bad about that contractor. It's just, again, showing that level of differentiation between you and them. And lastly, how else, you know, how else can you do something in terms of comparing and contrasting your services to somebody else when they tell you, hey, they want to do, they want to get another bid, right? So all of those things together, the I want to think about it, the monthly investment, the total investment, the price comparison, or the compare and contrast type of injections, these are what you have to have a plan in place to be able to handle each of these different types of objections. And when you have a plan in place to deal with those, statistically, what you're going to find is that you're going to be able to close more business and better business at the kitchen table. And a lot of those leads that you thought were just awesome sales call, they're going to call you back and all of those types of things. It really comes down to having a plan in place to be able to deal with those objections. If you walk in blindly, or if you have been walking in blindly to a homeowner's house and not being able to contend or understand what objections are out there, I urge you to go back through this because it really comes down to having a plan in place to be able to deal with these individual objections. And whether or not you like my methodology or not, maybe you have your own, but the core objections that you're going to find and face out there are the I want to think about it, the compare and contrast, the price comparison, the total investment, the monthly investments. Those are all of the different objections that I could that I would commonly come across. And there are others out there, but mind you, this right here is, this right here is the bulk of them. One of the objections that we didn't cover is, I have to ask my spouse. How would you handle that objection? Well, I made it a process and a routine to never sell to one person. Yeah, and I know that you're probably head scratching out there and you're saying, well, what do you mean never sell to one person? Well, I don't run the one-legged lead. I do everything and anything possible to always establish up front that all of the decision makers that are going to be making a decision are there, present, and are able to talk to me as I'm providing my proposal. And I'm sure you're saying, well, Rob, that's just not possible because I typically, or you're typically, only selling to one particular person in the home. And if you're doing that, I think that's where it takes some discipline, because the discipline that I utilized was if I was only selling to one person, I would find an opportunity to excuse myself prior to presenting that proposal and figuring out a way and getting a commitment to come back into the home so that I could present the proposal to all of the decision makers in the house. I found it staggering that if I was only selling to one person, what my numbers looked like in terms of my closing ratio when I was selling only to one person versus when I paused from the sales process and reestablished and got a commitment to come back and actually share to sell to both parties. Yes, did it take extra effort? Absolutely. Did I have to drive back and forth a couple of extra times in order to establish or in order to get that appointment where all of the decision makers were present? Absolutely. Was it worth it? Absolutely. So I urge you, if one of the objections are, well, I have to talk to my wife or I have to talk to my spouse or any of those types of things, that's probably a scenario where you should have excused yourself already and then come back or established an appointment where all of the decision makers were going to be present, right? So that's another objection that I'm typically faced with, and that's how I would say that you would handle those. I think we've talked about the objection handling piece, and we've talked about the variety of objections that are out there. And one of the things that I urge and recommend you to do is to put together a survey, a customer survey. And if that's something that you're looking for help with, please call our offices. If you're looking for some ideas or if you have some things that are established in that survey, or you just need some help sharpening a survey, please feel free to call our offices and we'll do what we can to help you put that together. Also, you could reach out to me. My email address is rob@grandyassociates.com. It's been a pleasure speaking to you today. Thanks for listening. You may have some questions about this overall objection handling process. If you'd like to reach out and give me a telephone call, I'm happy to talk to you about these things as well. Thanks for listening and have a great day.
As always, we welcome your feedback on each month's presentation. Please feel free to give us a call at 877-202-8891. The vision of Grandy & Associates is quite simple. We teach companies how to run profitable businesses. For more information on how we do that, check out our website at www.grandyassociates.com or give us a call at 1-877-202-8891. Profit University Audio Series is produced and distributed by Grandy & Associates. If we can be of service to you, give us a call on our toll-free line at 1-877-202-8891. Until next month, remember, invest your time and invest your money in those things that will reproduce.